So I think what's really at an issue here and what really came about, Winter Storm Uri really shined a bright light on this issue, was discrepancies in the way force majeure may be defined. Let's say you're an off-taker from a wind facility and you're doing it under a bespoke PPA, but then downstream you're selling that power under an EEI or under an is-to-power annex. The issue that comes up is, how do those force majeure provisions line up? Do they line up? Where might there be gaps in what some of those definitions are? So for example, if you're concerned about sort of having an excuse to your downstream delivery obligation under your EEI, will you be able to get that if you were unable to declare force majeure on your bespoke PPA because the bespoke PPA was perhaps loosely drafted or sort of sloppily drafted with respect to that force majeure provision? We saw a lot of that in the wake of Winter Storm Uri, where parties had thought that they had done the right thing. They thought that they had the ability to sort of curtail and avoid that result. But as it turned out, the definitions did not really line up and did not really match. And so on one end or the other, they were unable to declare force majeure, and they were sort of stuck holding the bag again on one side or on the other side. So that's a big issue, and it's a big takeaway from Winter Storm Uri, is going back and looking at those agreements, and especially going forward with new agreements, really taking a sharp pencil to those definitions and a careful analysis of what's going into those definitions and making sure that they line up. Again, just to make sure that if you're trying to back-to-back these agreements, they really are back-to-back. Okay, we just had a really great presentation on force majeure, David. Thank you for that. I'm going to touch on it a little bit here too, just from a sort of lessons learned and contracting perspective, to ensure that you're sort of achieving your commercial intent with the way that you're actually drafting your agreements. And I think when you look at the EEI and generally most PPAs, they all tend to have at least one of the general elements, I'll call them, of a force majeure definition. One is sort of just a general clause, right? This is just a general description of what force majeure is, commonly phrased something like, any cause not reasonably within the control of the party claiming suspension, right? Beyond that general description, though, depending on the agreement that you're looking at, you might have one or both of the next two components. Now, the next component is sort of a list of things that would be circumstances that are within the scope of force majeure. So it would be a phrase something like along the lines of force majeure includes but is not limited to, and then a list of items, right? And the third component would be a sort of list of out-of-scope items. And so, we saw this in David's presentation a minute ago. A good example of that is in the NASB, where, it says, notwithstanding the foregoing, force majeure shall not be based upon, and then a list of things. And so the question is that properly tied to what your intent is in a given commercial situation? Is it tied to what your intent is with a specific facility or a specific project? And so that also feeds into what the product definition is that we spoke about a minute ago. So if, for example, on the bespoke PPA off-taking from a facility side, how are you defining what the product is going to be there? And is the product there excused by force majeure? On the on the downstream side, if you're selling later at the load zone or at the hub, does your definition of force majeure again align with the product description that you've got under that contract? That also comes into play when you're talking about PPAs. Again, we talked about the EEI having a very clear and commonly understood definition set for what a firm and a unit contingent obligation is. It's very common to see PPAs that have very loose descriptions of these terms. When combined with a loose description of force majeure, it can tend to sort of blur the lines a little bit. And in a Winter Storm Uri situation, maybe you start to ask questions like, is this really a unit firm or a firm product, or is it a unit contingent obligation? David just walked us through a lot of cases that raised the point about force majeure. There we go. You know, force majeure is not presumed, right? A party is going to declare force majeure, but it has to be substantiated. And as we learned in the prior presentation, that can very commonly come down to a factual determination that has to be determined by a fact finder. It needs to actually be tied to the performance that needs to be excused. And you can bet that after Winter Storm Uri, when force majeure notices were flying about, that counterparties were demanding proof that there was an actual linkage between the claimed force majeure and the performance that was sought to be excused. And so, needless to say, that gives rise to an enormous risk that FM declarations are going to be rejected by your counterparty.